16. Brother Jesse wanted me to use this earpiece thing, but I'll be a blessing to him. Matthew chapter number 16. Let's look at verse number 13. Last night I thought that Brother Samson was going to preach my message. I got a little worried. Thankfully he didn't stick with it. Matthew chapter number 16. Look at verse number 13. And Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the preaching that was already been heard. God, we thank you for touching our hearts. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for meeting with us this weekend. But God, we are a needy people, and we pray that you meet with us one more time. God, I pray you please empty me of all self and pride. God, I pray that you please get me out of the way. I cannot do this without you. God, I need you. I pray that you please use me. I pray you fill me with your spirit. Put your hand on me this morning. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we have Jesus Christ. He's talking to the disciples. And if anyone, if you read your Bible, you realize that Jesus Christ never asks a question he doesn't know the answer to. He always asks a question for our sake. That's why he's asking, because he wants us to realize it. He wants us to know what we believe. He wants it to come from our heart when we're asking, when he's asking a question. Here he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And here you get a common response from the world. They say everything but who Jesus Christ is. They'll say that he is a man in history. Some will say he's a good man in history. Some will even say that he was a prophet. Some will even say he was sent by God. But no one will say that he's the Son of God. No one will say that he's the Savior. No one will say that he's the one who died for you on Calvary, and that's through his blood is the remission of sins. They'll give you every other answer in the book but who he is. But here he says, I realize what men say that I am. He said, but whom do ye say that I am? And I love Simon Peter. We can talk about him all day. We can talk about how he denied Christ. But what I like about Simon Peter is I can sure relate to Simon Peter. I've messed up. I've done some stupid things. I've gotten out of the will of God. But every time God's forgiven me and he's put me back in my place and he said, all right, you messed up, but how about you try again? And thank God for that. And here Peter, he says a lot of things throughout the Bible, and sometimes he's way off and sometimes he's right on. And here he knew what God had put in his heart. We find out that the Father put this in his heart, and I believe this wasn't the first time he was thinking it. I believe maybe as he walked the life with Christ and how he walked next to him day by day and saw him producing these miracles, I believe every day he's saying, man, this has to be the one. This has to be him. Man, just the way he speaks, I've never heard anybody like him. Just the way he loved me when no one else would, I've never, ever met another man like this man. He has to be the Christ. He has to be the Son of the living God. But maybe he just never said it out loud yet. Maybe it was in his heart. But when Jesus Christ asked the question, and listen, friend, there's going to be a day in your life when Jesus Christ is going to say, yeah, but what do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? And this day came for Peter, and he was ready, and I believe he stood up, and I believe he boldly said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe Jesus Christ had a smile on his face when he said, blessed art thou, Simon of Bar-Jonah. He said, hey, you're right. You got that one right, Peter. Hey, the Father revealed that to you, and I don't believe that Simon Peter here, I don't believe he just found out that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not only did he realize that, but he realized that the man before him was the Creator. In Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26, when God said, let us make man in our image. He is the hour in hour, all right? He's the one that was there. He said, hey, I never knew what that meant before I met you. He said, you were the one that was there. You are the creator of all man. Peter realized in Joshua chapter number 5, verse number 14, that he was standing before the captain of the Lord of hosts. He said, you were the one when Joshua went across the river and bowed himself and started worshiping you. And he said, hey, Joshua, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. That wasn't no angel. No angel would ever accept worship that's meant for God. That was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ coming down to earth and just saying, hey, Joshua, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Let me say something about this, about missing your shot. Do you realize that Moses was called to lead the children of Israel into Canaan? That was his ministry. That's what God wanted him to do. Guess what? He took one shot and missed and lost it all.
It wasn't three strikes, you're out. It wasn't, now listen, God's long-suffering, but in Moses' case, he messed up one time. He disobeyed one time. How many of us have never gotten angry about something? Man, we've all done it. Man, God's merciful. You know what Moses did? He struck that rock, and God said, you're done. You're not going into the promised land. So quit living your life like God's going to always forgive you. I'm sorry, he'll forgive you, but he'll always give you another chance. Quit living your life like God's going to say, ah, it's all right. Oh, it's all good. I'll give you another chance. It's all good. You'll still be preaching tomorrow. Because maybe one day God's going to say, you're done. I'll forgive you of your sin, but I'm not going to let you do anything else. You're on the shelf. You better live life like you only got one strike. It might help you out. Moses got one strike. What did he miss out on? Not only did he miss out on the promised land, he missed out on the promised one. Joshua got to see the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. That was for Moses. But Joshua got to do it because he was obedient. Because he did what God wanted him to do. He crossed the river into Canaan, which is a sign of the victorious Christian life. Not only did Peter realize that he was the creator in Genesis chapter number 1, not only did he realize he was the captain in Joshua chapter number 5, but Peter realized that he was the fourth man of Daniel chapter number 3. He realized, he said, hey, man, when Nebuchadnezzar saw that fourth man, that was you. You're him. You're the one that was in that fire all those years ago. And guess what? If you want to see the Son of God in your life, you better be ready to go through the fire. If you want to see God, then expect to go through the flames. Hey, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. You may see some dark times. You may see some hard times. It might get a little hot. You might go, man, I can't take this heat. There's no way I'm going to survive. But just like those three Hebrew children, don't be careful to answer them in that matter. Just say, hey, I may die in those flames, but I'm going in for my God. And guess what? The fourth man, he just might appear, and he'll walk with you. But if you want to see God, you better be ready to go through the flames. Peter realized not only was he the fourth man, but he was born of a virgin's womb. In Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14, he realized the man before him was the son of righteousness of Malachi, chapter number 4, verse number 2. Peter realized that he was the I am of Exodus, chapter number 3. You know, when God said, I am that I am, he was telling Moses, I'm everything you're ever going to need. If there's one thing you need in that wilderness, if there's one thing you need in that promised land, no matter how many steps we take, no matter how many years it takes, I am what you need. All you got to do is ask. You know what Peter realized when he saw Jesus Christ? When he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, you're everything I'm ever going to need for the rest of my life. You're it. I don't need anything else. I don't need family. I don't need fame. I don't need friends. I don't need a fortune. All I need is you. All I need is you. You are the Son of God. Man, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter realized in those 10 words, a whole lot. But quickly, I don't want to get out of the way for the other preachers. My question to you this morning is, but who do you say that he is? Peter realized who he was. Peter realized he was the Son of God. Peter realized that he was the one who was going to come as a king. He realized that Jesus Christ was going to rule and reign. But you know what Peter never did realize, and he didn't get it till after the resurrection? That Jesus Christ came to die. He didn't realize that he was coming to die for him. He knew he was going to rule for him, but man, he couldn't quite grasp that fact that he had to die for him. You know what we can realize? I wonder this morning, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I wonder if you can say, he's my Savior. I wonder if you call him Savior this morning. I wonder if you realize that Jesus Christ died for your sins. I wonder if you realize this morning that Jesus Christ hung on a cross for your sins. I'm talking to the ones that came in here. Maybe this is your first time ever in a church service. Maybe you were invited, and you just have that emptiness inside of you. You know, I can't describe it. You're saying, man, I just want something in life. Nothing fills it. I'm never happy. I have no joy. Man, I just don't know what to do. I fill it every day with different things, but man, nothing's connecting. I don't get it. It's because you don't know him as Savior. Man, when something as big as God moves in, it sure will fill that void. There's nothing like Jesus Christ coming in and changing everything. You know, I didn't find peace till I found Christ. I didn't find happiness until I found Christ. I didn't know what love was until I knew what the love of God was. There's nothing like Jesus Christ. And if you don't know what we're talking about, if you don't get why we shout, if you don't get why we cry, if you don't understand that, maybe it's because you don't have him inside you. And I'm going to say this to church kids. And listen, I'm not for getting down here and putting doubt in your mind. I'm not for that. But I'll give you my testimony. At 5 years old, I made a profession of faith. I asked Jesus Christ to save me. I didn't understand it. I was afraid to go to hell, and that was it. Now, I understand people can get saved young. I believe Brother Samson got saved when he was 4. Is that correct? And he meant it. And he'll tell you that day he knew it. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he was lost and on his way to hell. He knew the Holy Spirit of God had convicted him. And he knew he needed to get things right in his life, and he got saved. But I'm telling you, my testimony is I didn't understand it. I knew there was a hell. I didn't want to go there. So I said the magic words. And I thought I was saved for 5 years. Do you realize if I would have died after that day, I would have burned in the devil's hell? Because I thought I was saved. Because I said something in my mind. But when I was 10 years old, I got to go to a youth rally. And I remember Brother Mike Easter preached on hell. And I sat back in my seat, and God said that entire time, you're not saved. You're not saved. You're not saved. You know what the devil was telling me? Yeah, you are. You got saved when you were 5. I can remember at 5 years old, I can remember that day as good as the day I really got saved. I don't know why that is, but I remember it crystal clear. But I know nothing happened that day. I know there was no supernatural exchange. But at 10 years old, I submitted and I said, God, you're right, I'm not saved. And I called George Mitchell and he came down to a swing at my Nana's house and he led me to the Lord. And I thank God for that day. But why I'm saying this is, don't ride your mommy and daddy's coattails who are saved. If you're in here and you're saying, man, I've never done that. But I grew up in church. But I've heard the Bible my whole life. I grew up with a mommy and daddy that served God their whole life. I'm sure I'm in. Until it's personal to you, until you ask Jesus Christ to save you, you're not saved. So I wonder if you know him as Savior this morning. Peter called him the Son of God. I wonder if we can call him Savior. I wonder if we can call him friend this morning. I'm talking to the saved folks. Can you call him friend? So, oh man, Jesus Christ is my best friend. Thank God he's a friend for sinners. Is he your best friend though? Or are you just saying that? Is it just words? We can all say words, but do you mean it? Do you mean that Jesus Christ really is your best friend? Proverbs 18, chapter number 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you don't know who that friend is, you turn to John, chapter number 15, verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid down his life. Hey, guess what? He loved me. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a friend. He loved me long before I ever loved him. He's my friend. But a friend is trustworthy. And I wonder, I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ is the most trustworthy person, individual, that you will ever meet. You can trust him with anything. He'll never let you down. He'll never fail you. He'll never lie to you. But I wonder, do you trust him with all your heart today? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm saying you got saved, but now do you trust him with your life? You trust him with your soul, but have you given him the rest? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know how many teenagers I hear on a day-to-day basis that they don't know what they want to do with their lives. They got some plans and things like that, and they're worried that if they submit to God, God's going to take that away. You know what that is? That's not trust. That's not trusting him. Let me tell you this, young people. If you give everything to God, even if your plans get changed, I promise you, you're not going to care. I promise you, the plans that God has for your life far surpass any plan that you could ever have for your life. The best decision you will ever make is putting 100% trust in Jesus Christ and saying, God, here I am, use me. Take my life, whatever you have for me. I don't care about my goals. I don't care about my dreams. God, just use me, and he will. And you know what he might do sometimes? Oh, you can still do everything you wanted to do. I just want you to give it to me. I'm not saying he's going to change everything. He might let you do it. He might have given you that gift. He might have given you something that you can use. He just wants you to do it for him. You just have to trust him. You just have to trust him. A friend is trustworthy. A friend is loyal. God's going to be there when no one else is. When everyone else forsakes you, Jesus Christ will be there. When you can't talk to anybody about your problems, Jesus Christ will be there. You know what I find wrong about this generation? I find that we have so many young teenagers who have, they go through depression, they go through all this anxiety, they go through all these things, and they're all very real. I am not making fun of them. It is a real thing. The devil is fighting teenagers today, and if you dare sit in your seat and say, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't deal with anything, then how about you just sit and watch a teenager for a day and see what they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis? The war is real in their lives. They do have to deal with these things, but the problem comes when they go to their teenage friend who's dealing with the exact same thing, and they expect an answer on how to deal with it. They don't have an answer. They're going through it with you. They don't know. There's only one friend that you can go to when you have no idea what to do, when you have all these stress, when you are depressed, when you're sitting there going, I can't hang on anymore. Then go to him. He's the one who will help you. He knows you more than any other person. He knows the hair on your head. He knows your heart. Just go to him. He's waiting for you. Your friends on Facebook aren't going to help you. Go to him. Your friends in school are not going to help you. Go to him. He's loyal, but have you been loyal to him? Or do you only use him when he's convenient? Is he only your friend when it's good for you? When you are down and out and you say, God, I need you. I made a mess of my life. That's when you call on him. God's there all the time. But are you loyal to him? Quickly, a friend is dependable. I depend on God for everything. I need to. There's still times in my life where I want to depend on me, and God says, why are you doing that? You're just going to mess it up. You got to depend on him. I wonder, can he depend on you? Can he say, man, I need somebody in Smyrna, Delaware. There's somebody walking in that store right now that needs to get saved. Good thing I have a member of Faith Baptist Church in the next aisle. I can depend on them. They're going to give them a track. They're going to walk across that aisle. They're going to be humming or singing some song of Zion that's going to catch that person's ear. They're going to be talking about the Savior. I can depend on them. Or does he say, man, he's lost. Please, would you go talk to him? Man, could you just move over? Don't be ashamed of me. Would you please talk to him? He's always been dependable. But are you? Are you a friend of God as he's been a friend to you? Lastly, and I'm done, I want to get out of the way. Do you call him Savior this morning? Do you call him friend? Lastly, can you call him Lord? In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21 through 23, we find that a lot of people can say, Lord, Lord. And guess what? He said, depart from me. I don't even know you. You're saying my name, but who are you? That's just religion. That's what that is in that verse. Those are people that claim to know God. They preach the gospel, but they've never asked Jesus Christ to save them. They have no idea what they're talking about. Instead, they're in it for a profit. They're trying to deceive people, and they're sending people to hell. And God says, I don't know them. But watch this. How many saved people who have asked Jesus Christ to come to their heart, and they save them, and they say, he's my Lord. But do you realize what Lord means? Someone having power or authority. For someone to be the Lord over your life, his word goes. Whatever he says, you do. What we do is we say, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, or I talk to the Lord today. The Lord is so good to me. It's just become another name. Lord is the authority of your life. Lord is the one that he says, hey, I want you to dress better. And you say, yes, sir. He's the one who says, I want you to quit listening to that music. And you say, yes, sir. He's the one who says, I want you to wear some different clothes. I want you to talk different. I want you to act different. And you say, yes, sir. That's what the Lord of your life is. I'm tired of people. We sit in the pews, and I find myself doing it at times where I go, well, that's just his opinion. But if he used scripture, then it's not his opinion. It's the opinion of God, who is my Lord, and I should look at the scripture and say, the preacher's right. Lord, you're right. I'm wrong, and I need to get it right. But so many times, we say, well, that's for him. How about you find out what the Lord wants you to do? You can call him Savior. Because you get saved. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who can't call him Savior. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning, you are saved, but you're not using God as your friend. You use him when he's convenient. Let him be your best friend. I promise it's the best decision you'll ever make. He'll be there when you need him. Listen, we talk about the storms, and there are people who go through storms, and when that happens, you're going to need that friend. Listen, I find in the Bible that when the storm's going on, guess where Jesus Christ is? Walking on the water in the middle of the storm. So how about you walk with him? Don't be on the boat. It may seem safe, but God's over here. Get on the water with him. He's your friend. Be with him. And ultimately, is he your Lord this morning? Can you say, I'm doing everything God wants me to do? Or do you say, man, I buck against the system a good bit. I don't really ever like what the preacher has to say. I don't like the standards that church has. I don't like what they tell me to do. I don't like their rules and regulations. It wasn't my pastor that made up the rules and regulations. It wasn't my mom or dad that made up the rules or regulations. It was men and women that followed this book, and they said, hey, this is what God said. So this is what we're going to do at our church. That's what we're going to do in our house. And if you would get in the book, and if you would say, that's the Lord of my life, and if you would say, hey, whatever you want me to do, Lord, even if you hear something, and maybe it's not, there are personal convictions. And if that's the case, fine. But pray about it. Actually ask God what he wants you to do. And let him be the Lord of your life. I wonder where you're at this morning. Is he the Lord? Is he completely and utterly in control of your life? Or do you want to do what you want to do? You don't like what we have to say. You don't like the preaching. You don't like the singing. You don't like the rules. Where's your heart at? Maybe it's time to let Jesus Christ be your Lord. The only Father, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for just being good to us when I don't deserve it. God, I need you to please use this message. God, I love these people, Lord. I pray that you just please speak through me when I can't do it. God, I pray your spirit would deal with hearts, be with the rest of this service. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.